Remembering. I sat in a memorial garden at the Rosebank Union Church in Johannesburg, South Africa, just last week. It is the place where my gran, my Muki, is interred. And I was not there for her final breath. I missed the family coming together to tell her story, to sing her songs, to remember her wisdom and the unfolding of her life. And so I sat there and I recalled my own memories of my Muki. And I remembered a poem that she had lived by and had handed on to me. It was called The Salutation to the Dawn. And it goes like this: look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. For in its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. Today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Such is the salutation of the dawn. And I sat in that beautiful garden, and I had to have a little giggle, because as I was sitting in that moment remembering this poem, I realized that as I looked to this day, I was also being called to hold the memories of my past. Not to ignore it, not to push it away, but to quilt it together. Even and maybe especially the pieces that don't seem to go together, the colors that clash, the sides that are longer than the others, the joy, the pain, the uncertainty, the disconnection, the fragmentation, and the few parts that actually make sense, to try and remember, to gather the journey as a whole. And our sacred readings today are actually like this. They are a quilt of fragments. I actually wished that I was away just one more week so someone else could preach this sermon. It's quite confusing, and yet it provides us with the depth and complexity of human experience. And so for some wisdom, I went to a previous sermon on this text that was preached by the late Reverend Canon Douglas Williams. And he says this: perhaps we are called to listen carefully to what the writer was trying to say, rather than what we think they are saying. Every biblical reading is telling us something about God and something about being human. And sometimes we get that confused. This dark side of human life, where there is disaster and pain and suffering, and where there is division among people, as we read in our gospel today. And we are called to remember, to have moments to remember and recognize that this Bible has stories remembered of all of the complexity of life. And if it were not so, it would not be worth having around. It is not a scientific or historical or psychological textbook. It's not a religious textbook, but it is an attempt. It is an attempt of a community of people trying to describe and understand their experiences of God. And oh my, for those first Jewish followers of Jesus, their call must have been disruptive to their families. And so today we sit with this gospel passage about division, laid side by side with a passage from Hebrews, a quilt that may not seem to fit together. Hebrews is this elusive piece of writing. We have no idea who wrote it. We have no idea who it was written to. and we know very little about the context. And yet, from the rhetoric, we have a sense that it actually seems to be a sermon that was given to a congregation who were tired and losing confidence. And this particular passage of faith is a call to remember both the fragile and the remarkable moments of being people together on this journey. We have a pilgrimage out of oppression, like crossing the Red Sea, like leaving Robben Island, like marching at Selma, like protecting the sacred land at Standing Rock. We have a marginalized woman risking as she cared for foreigners, Rahab, or Corrie ten Boom, or REST, the North Shore Regional Ecumenical Support Team for Refugees. We have a man riddled with doubt, so unsure about what to do next, and he couldn't sleep, so he laid a fleece out and asked God to show him the way by where the dew landed. Good old Gideon. There is nothing like those restless nights of tossing and turning while asking for clarity about a situation. And this is the mystery of it all, isn't it, friends? That in our life of faith, we somehow connect all these pieces together, that when they are put together, they are an immaculate quilt of faith. Remembering keeps us balanced and whole, not only as individuals, but as a community. Christian theologians have a word about remembering when we gather around this table. They call it anamnesis, anamnesis. And it's the same root of the word that we get amnesia from. And amnesia, as we know, means not to remember. And anamnesis means to remember. For we come together not just to think about these thoughts, but to actually be knitted and quilted into the fabric of these stories. We enter into a place that is very thin when we come to this table, for we are feasting with those who have passed and those who are yet to come. Together at this table, remembering, becoming once again a member of this body of Christ, brothers and sisters, past, present, and future. And in our time of uncertainty, how important is it for us to situate ourselves in history? So we come to this table. We also have an invitation before us to live into what Elise Boulding calls a 200-year present. For when we are in an intergenerational community like this, we know somebody who is close to being 100 years old. We do. We also have children who may be alive 100 years from now. And when we live into this 200-year present, we are able to take hold of a life space that draws on the wisdom of the past and helps us to think and plan and strategize what is to come and hold it as our life space. We are always somewhere in the middle. We are always somewhere in the middle of a 200-year present. So memorializing these stories of faith is not only for our own nourishment, but it is for the life of this world. I sat at my nephew's wedding about a week ago as well, and I was sitting at a table filled with 20-plus people. all imagining what life was going to be like. Some feeling the despair of what's happening with our earth. Many feeling the sadness of the political situation in South Africa and wondering whether they wanted to move to Canada. So I was being grilled. It was this moment where the wisdom of past I could draw on, the stories that are told in a community like this, and speak to these 20-plus folks who have this life ahead. This is the journey of our faith. It is this quilting together of our stories. And we need to be in these intergenerational conversations. And I encourage you to do so. I went to go and see the new version of The Lion King. I don't know how many of you have seen it. I preferred the first one. But there is this moment when Simba, this lost, shame-filled lion, is disconnected from his pride, from his people, from his family and his friends. And somehow in the mystery of it all, he is led to this watery mirror by this monkey priest, Rafiki. And Rafiki stirs the water and he says, look, look harder into yourself. And suddenly the wisdom of his father, Mufasa, is right before his eyes. And these are Mufasa's words. He says, my son, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life. Remember who you are. And so we come to the table today, my friends. Amen.